Yesterday was a day the boss of the Kimberley Police probably could have done without. Multiple arrests were made at the Minari blockade, and certainly in the afternoon the level of physicality of these arrests increased. After waiting for a long time, the police attempted to break the blockade by surging forward and creating a path for the Woodside convoy. Superintendent Mick Sutherland is in charge of the Kimberley Police and he joins me this morning. Good morning, Superintendent.
Yeah, good morning, Rob.
Would you describe yesterday as a successful day?
Successful that Woodside could go about their lawful right to carry out their work, yes.
Non-successful in how other, in what other way?
Oh, people putting themselves at risk and also getting arrested. Unfortunately, I was hoping to see a peaceful and lawful protest.
Just talking about that, then I wanted to address the claims of excessive force. This is protester Carly Ballant speaking to the ABC's Erin Park yesterday.
I was surprised by the physical force and the aggression with old people, with Aboriginal people, with kids, with women. There was a lot of very forceful pushing and shoving and grabbing people. It was quite shocking.
But would you agree that people were given every opportunity and every warning possible that this was going to happen and it was time to leave the road?
We didn't hear any of the warnings. There was a lot of background noise. There was a lot of cheering. There was a lot of people chanting. So where I was standing, we didn't hear any warnings whatsoever.
There's two things out of that, Superintendent. One, firstly, were the police overly aggressive in the way they approached the situation yesterday afternoon?
Definitely not. Unfortunately, if people don't comply with a lawful request, we have no option to arrest them. If they force against police, which we don't want to use, if we don't want to get around to using force at all.
Mm.
And I don't think a lot of force was used. However, in circumstances like this, it's really in the hands of the protesters. Their behaviour will dictate how we have to respond.
The second point that he raised was that although you say there was warnings, they were unable to be heard within the sound and noise of the crowd. Are you confident that these large warnings to a group of people are clearly able to be heard by the protesters?
Yes, I am. And there was plenty of warning. Rob, we need to go back 4 weeks. We've been negotiating with the people out there. The crowd hasn't changed out there. The protesters haven't changed. They've had an ample amount of time to heed our warnings, and they all knew that this day was coming.
Should any difference be made between whether it's a younger person or an older female or a young man in the way they're dealt with?
We do our work with professionalism and restraint, and I believe that the police yesterday showed all that, and that was done at all times. Especially when I interviewed and spoke to many of the 25 that come through the lockup, and not one person complained about the police. In actual fact, they were thanking the police the way they conducted themselves.
Superintendent Mick Sutherland from the Kimberley District Office is our guest this morning on ABC Kimberley Breakfast. Just about that time frame, Mick, this blockade is heading into its 31st day today. Many people have asked me in the last few weeks, why are the police waiting? Why did you wait for 30 days before you enforced the law, as you say, that was at your disposal from day one?
Yeah, well, that came about because the Woodside consented to turn around daily and go back to town. However, on this day, they had made a request that they were going to go around and do their lawful duties, and they wished to go back in there, and which they've got the right to go back out there and do their activities, which they've had the approval for.
But isn't the job of the police to enforce the law regardless of circumstance? I mean, if a company said, don't do something tomorrow because we don't want it to be done, isn't it just your job? These people were breaking the law, they were blocking a public road.
Like I said, Rob, we didn't get a complaint from Woodside previously. They're going out there to do their work and they were roadblocked. They consented themselves to turn around and come back again.
Does it concern you that that could be perceived as Woodside dictating police?
Definitely not. We knew the people there. At the end of the day, they've got a right to protest, and obviously we were going out there to check on their welfare as much as making sure that Woodside hadn't forced their way through. They were consenting to turn around, so I made that call. But like I said, that it had to come to the day that these people wanted to work and get around to their work. And unfortunately, people could have protested, however, in a peacefully and lawful manner, which I would have expected.
Do the police worry about images of citizens, particularly Indigenous Australians, being held down and dragged off being broadcasted to country, online, etc.? Does it concern
you? I didn't see any of that at all.
Well, I saw on ABC News last night an Indigenous man being held down.
Was he under arrest?
Yeah, he was being arrested.
Well, we're allowed to arrest people. That's our job. We've got a duty by law to uphold the law,
okay,
and sometimes the use of force. And that's dictated by the protester, Rob.
Yeah.
Let's get it right here. It's in the hands of the protesters. I believe our police officers acted professionally and at all times, without fear or favour, enforce the law. So if you can tell me how we're going to do it, I'd like to hear it.
What do you expect from today?
Today, I expect that hopefully people will obviously go around and protest peacefully and lawfully. If they don't, obviously, like I said, they dictate, the protesters dictate, it's the behaviour will dictate how we'll respond.
We heard from our reporter, Lucy Martin, this morning, who was at the Minari turnoff, who'd spoken to protesters. They were saying if other vehicles attempted to come down the road again, they would block them. I guess then it's a situation if Woodside then say we want to go on, then police will arrest more people.
Well, the thing is that Woodside are going to go about their lawful duties and activities from now on.
Okay.
So we have sufficient resources and we'll stay there until they get around to doing their duties as they should be and as we should be able to drive up and down Minari Road.
Do you have any idea of how many cars are going to be required to be going? We were talking about, obviously, yesterday, a single convoy, but this is a fairly extensive piece of work that has to be done. I'm imagining cars are going to be needing to go up and down that road all the time over the next few months. You're going to need to have police there the whole time?
That's correct.
Is this a waste of police resources?
Well, you'll have to talk to the government about that.
Okay. Our local resources stretched to an extent that other policing may suffer?
Yes. However, like I said, it's back to the protesters. If the protesters want to remain there and do it lawfully, we haven't got a problem. If they commit offences, well, they'll be dealt accordingly.
Okay. Right around the Kimberley, this is The Breakfast Show with Robert Mailer.
John is travelling in the Kimberley at the moment. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm well. Now, you were travelling back from above, from James Royce Point, or north of the blockade yesterday, towards Broome in the afternoon. What was your experience?
Well, we were coming back from a brilliant day, and I was with another party, and we were stopped by the protesters coming up the road, and the protesters were blocking the road from the scrub line to the scrub line, and no vehicle could get past them. And we had to wait. The police stopped us and said, look, you can't get through. We blocked the road, and you'll have to wait. We had to wait for an hour and a half, and then we ended up meeting other commitments that we'd paid for, you know, from a touring perspective. So we sat back and watched. And, Rob, I have to say right from the onset, I was amazed at how the police handled themselves professionally and with a lot of constraint.
Mm.
There was a lot of agitating going on towards the police, not by all the protesters, but what appeared or came across to me was that the leaders of this rally or whatever it is had no control and had no plans in place to avoid a violent confrontation.
John, do you understand? I suppose it's interesting because you mentioned you've just come from a brilliant day up the coast enjoying the pristine environment up there, and I suppose a lot of the protesters might say, well, hang on, you've gone up and enjoyed what we're trying to protect.
Fair enough. But have your demonstration, but not to the detriment of other people. And they had no consideration. When we drove in there at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10:30, we drove through them at the corner of the Minari Road intersection, the main intersection, and they were yelling at tourists as we were going through then. So they were starting to get agitated then. But the police were very tactful. I watched them. I watched them make arrests. And everyone needs to support their police. And the leaders in our communities, like the local government, everyone need to stand up now and say, are we going to back these guys in doing their job? Because what I looked at was a hell of a waste of taxpayers' money for people that have a right to demonstrate but didn't do it properly.